بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We often hear about the six popular books of hadith: Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmizi, Abu Dawud, Nasa'i, Muwatta. We'll see one very salient and very outstanding feature in all these kitabs, that in spite of the abundance of hadith that are quoted from Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but every hadith where the reporter says that this sahabi had heard this from Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he doesn't compromise in writing the entire Durood Sharif. Not SAW, or like how nowadays the wrong custom has come through. For Assalamu Alaikum, they say slums. So they didn't compromise in doing so. Though in doing so, they may have used up one third of the kitabs. One third of the kitab was used just in writing Durood Sharif. Now, this practice of theirs was always, and every muhaddith that writes a kitab, he ensures that the Durood Sharif is written incomplete. So this comes with a great and a magnificent reward as well. You see, for example, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, thereafter, for many years, many, many years, there was a sweet fragrance that was coming out from his grave. The only reason we can see is he wrote hadith, and he wrote Durood Sharif with every hadith. Up to recently, some of my friends had gone up to Bukhara and had gone and visited the grave of Imam Bukhari sahab rahmatullah alayh. Up till this day, they still witness that the fragrance is still coming out from that grave. So there must have been something. One great muhaddith says that I had seen Hazrat Rasulullah in my dream waiting. So I inquired, Ya Rasulullah, who is it that you are waiting for? Rasulullah's reply was, it's Muhammad ibn Ismail Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. And my eyes opened up and I got to know that Imam Bukhari sahab rahmatullah alayh has passed on. So these people that wrote Durood Sharif in abundance, wrote the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lived the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and died the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this is how they are being received, that with death and in the laps of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a magnificent way to live, and what an excellent way to die. That you're living as though you're living in the laps of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you're dying in his laps. You're living in his laps, and you are dying in his laps. What an excellent way. Around 92, Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah had passed away. And I had been planning to stay in his khidmat for some time. But around that time, we had just started the madrasa. Madrasa was still young, 7-8 years. And I kept on asking for permission that I can come and stay with him for some time. And he kept telling me that the madrasa responsibility, until you don't have a suitable person to take care of the madrasa, then you shouldn't be thinking of coming away to me. So these people, these mashayikh and these buzurgaradin, they train us how to set ourselves up. As much as we would like to stay in the company, they also understand the importance of a madrasa and the activities of madrasa. He also could see that it was around his last, and I kept on writing for permission to come and stay. But he says, no, until you don't have a suitable substitute, until then you don't think of coming here. So the importance of dini activities, whether it is madrasa, whether it is khanqa, whether it is tabligh, all have to take place, and we need to see to it that we give our heart and soul to these works. These works mustn't be treated with insignificance. Whether it is the imam that is doing the imamat in our locality, or the muazzin that is doing the azan there, they're doing a magnificent and a great piece of work. The least you could do is respect them, talk good of them, overlook the mistakes and the weaknesses. We have weaknesses, and we like our weaknesses to be covered. So they are also a human being, and they may also have some weaknesses, small or big. So we need to have that heart to cover them up as well. Like we would like our children's mistakes to be covered. They are also our elders, like our fathers. So we should try and cover their mistakes. Sometimes they are delayed. Sometimes some weakness or the other may surface. But we have the heart to discover them up. Allah Ta'ala will cover our faults, like I had explained yesterday. And we cover other people's faults, then Allah Ta'ala will cover our faults. On the day of Qiyamah, and Allah Ta'ala will cordon us up. He'll cordon us up. And after cordoning us, He will say that, you see, you have done this sin on this occasion, at this place, at this time. So all the details of the crime has been recorded by Allah Ta'ala. And it is so vivid, it becomes so vivid. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. Like a videotape is playing. So there is no possibility for you to reject it. If the crime that you are committing, it's video recorded and it's presented before you, is it possible for you to reject it? You can't reject it. So it becomes so vivid, like a videotape is playing before you. So you can't reject it. So very, very embarrassed and ashamed, and you will admit, Allah Ta'ala, I have committed that wrong. So then Allah Ta'ala will say, well, in this world, like you've been covering people, in this world, we had covered you. And in the hereafter also, we're going to cover you. We had concealed your mistakes. We hadn't allowed your mistakes to be exposed to people in this world. In the hereafter also, we will not expose your mistakes. We need to have the type of heart, brothers. That like we are, our respect, our integrity is very dear to us. Every person's integrity, everybody's respect is dear to him. No matter what crime is committed, but have the heart to forgive, overlook. People of nobility, really, they have it naturally in them. One Arab, his nephew killed his son. Nephew had killed his son. So now the case came up before him that your nephew has killed your son. Now the Islamic law is life for life, otherwise blood money. So how beautifully he said it. He says, my right hand or my left hand has amputated my right hand. It would be folly for me to amputate my left hand also. My left hand has amputated my right hand. It will be folly for me to amputate my left hand as well. But now my son's mother will be in tears and will be up in arms if I don't do anything about it. Never mind, I have forgiven the crime, but just give some blood money so that it may console and comfort the mother of the deceased child. But this is nobility, how you respect others. This is of old times. One friend of mine was explaining to me, nobility and respect. How do we cover, how we forgive, how do we overlook people's faults? How should we try to pick up others? If our brother is going down, then don't push him further down. Think of ways, how can we help him, rescue him, how can we help him up? You want the help of Allah Ta'ala? Wallahu fi auni al-abd ma dam al-abdu fi auni akhi. So you want Allah Pak's help, the easy prescription, easy way is bring that person up. In the English, you have these competitions, backgammon and chess and all that, whatever. So one person had become totally insolvent. This circle here, in the international league, and he had gone totally insolvent. So anyway, the person that was very, very popular, he challenged this person that was gone totally bankrupt, totally insolvent. And he lost the game, the person that was more popular and the champion, he lost the game. Anyway, those people that knew the game, they knew that this person deliberately made himself lose. But in the whole game and after the game as well, he made it appear, no, this person deserved to win, and he played an excellent, he played it and played very well. Later on, after 5 years or something, all the years from that period to 5 years, no, he played very well and he deserved to win, and you know, he really is a competent person. After about 5 or 10 years, then someone discovered his intention was something else. His intention was, this person is a part of our league, and when he's part of our league, then we need to bring him up. He's gone down to the gutters, gone down to the drains. What is it, the right thing for us now to push him further down or to try and pick him up? Now, these people's lives are in stupidity, in falsehood, in things that are of no value in the hereafter. But yet, the level of nobility and respect for each other. And he didn't even push him down. So, it was my generosity. I tried to break him up, you know. Therefore, I deliberately lost the game. Rather, he said, no, he deserved to win the game. He played an excellent match. Really, he deserves it. So, he brought up his dignity. In the competition, the contest, when he won, he got a good sum of money, came up again. So, that was his intention, to bring him up. But how he played it, this is the brother of our league, and the person needs to come up. We don't need to push him down further. Allah Pak grant us that type of understanding. Some 3-4 years back, and I was receiving quite a few emails. You know, people were asking, how is it to keep the name Zidane? So first time this type of name came before me, so I asked one of the youngsters, but what is this Zidane thing? You know, a lot of emails are coming, people want to keep the name Zidane. I said, well, which world are you living in? So, no, I don't know. But whatever it is, whichever world I'm living in, but I need to know what is this Zidane thing about. So he said, he's the best player of the year. The player of the year. So I asked him, all right, but what makes him the best player? What makes him the best player of the world for that year? So they say that his teamwork. I asked him, what's teamwork? I don't know, these words are a little bit strange for me. So his teamwork and his generosity on the field. He says, when they come right onto the goal, and it's easy for him to just push the goal into the net, you know. But he won't do it. He'll offer it to one of his team members, let him have that honor of scoring that goal. So right there, he could have, 100 goals to his name. But he says, no, I am there already, let that honor go to my brother. People are respecting me. What about my brother? What about my team? Let them earn that honor as well. These people are in batil, in falsehood, in wrong. It's of no benefit in the hereafter, whatever sports they are engaged in. It's lahu and laib. It's sports amusement and just a waste of time. But with all that, look at the nobility, look at the respect they've got for each other. For deen, can't we have that respect? My brother is in the gutters. My brother is down the drain. Can't I bring him up? Can't I just conceal his faults? So I was talking about that hadith, you know. We try and bail that brother out. We try and cover his mistake. We try and conceal him. Not that he's down and we push him even further. So Allah Pak will say, see, brother, you did this wrong at this place and this occasion. And it's videotaped, so you can't deny that. So, very embarrassed and ashamed, you will just admit, you'll have to admit. So then Allah will say, well, I've been concealing you in this world, and I'll conceal you in the hereafter. I won't expose you in the hereafter. I won't let your sin be exposed to all those people that I assembled here. Further, Allah will then say, and you see this wrong that you have done, I will transform it into a good deed. You know, for example, you did that wrong, whatever wrong you did, stole or zina, whatever has happened. So that wrong deed, I will transform it into a neki, into a good deed. This deed you did wrong, I'll give you hajj sawab for that. That wrong deed, I'll give you umrah sawab for that. So Allah Ta'ala would transform it. And who can stop Allah Ta'ala? Is there anybody that can control Allah Ta'ala? Can anybody influence Allah Ta'ala? He wants to do it, he can do it. But this comes from this heart that we try to assist. We try and bring up others. We try and conceal that person's mistake. Allah Ta'ala will look at us favorably in that way. So Allah Ta'ala will say, see this wrong you have done, though I cover it up with this. This wrong you have done, I have covered it up with this. Then the banda, people like us, greedy people like us, then we'll tell Allah Pak, oh Allah Pak, but what about the other guna that I made? Allah Pak, you only talk about this guna, what about the other guna that I make? See? So, this is the generosity of Allah Ta'ala. But a little bit of nobility, a little bit of respect, consideration for our brothers, they made mistakes here and there. Can't we just conceal them, forget them? Many people on the day of Qiyamah, they're getting forgiven. Why? It was a debtor, right? And the creditor had been considerate, said, no, don't worry. He doesn't have the money, all right, give him some respite. Don't push him, don't squeeze him. And even if he's got the money, but ask him gently, ask him with respect. Don't squeeze the person, don't chase him, don't be too harsh on him. Just be gentle and respectful to him. Just on account of that gentleness and that respect and that consideration to your brother, I say, no, man, he's been gentle and he's been generous, can't we be generous also? He's trying to exceed our generosity. No, we'll forgive him. So a little bit of consideration, respect for our brothers. With this, with anticipating that we'll show that generosity, that respect, that consideration, Allah Ta'ala will show us that type of consideration as well. He will show us that type of respect and consideration as well. So in these Mubarak nights, these are the lessons that we need to take home. You know, Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, we hear about him, and he had been a person who had seen the Tabi'een. He's a Mu'asir, a contemporary Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi, so he must have seen the Tabi'een. So he wasn't an ordinary person. He was the king of Balkh, Afghanistan. He was a king there, sitting on tons of gold and silver, whatever else, literally sitting on gold. Such a wealthy person, he had left all his kingdom to search Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Left all everything. It's a lengthy story, but I just want to show you, highlight one part of his life. He had left everything, taken up the path of Allah Ta'ala, going out in very simple, very, very simple clothing. Some youngsters were going for a cruise on a ship, so they wanted some entertainment. So they saw this old man here. Now he's left his kingdom and all that, and they saw him like an old man. Say, this will be the right person, he's the right candidate, and we can amuse ourselves. It's a cruise now, we need someone to entertain ourselves. So they dragged him somehow into the ship. And now to make fun of the person, they made a circle and they got him in the center. And one person is pushing him backwards, one is pushing him forward. He's falling and he's getting up, the next person is pushing him again, and he's crying, and they are cheering, they are amusing. So you get a cult also, sadists, you know. They like to see people in pain and grief. So this is not a new cult, it's an old cult, sadist. So anyway, until once he fell, and he fell in that state, Allah Ta'ala spoke to him. And Ibrahim, see, these people are blind. These people are blind, and they don't know what they're doing. If you just allow, we'll drown the last of these stupid people. We'll drown them now. Allah Ta'ala's anger was coming in force. Says, we'll drown the last of these stupid people. Now, in that state where he's broken down and he's fallen down, he's downtrodden, the dua that comes out of his mouth, he says, oh Allah Ta'ala, like you have the power to drown the last one of them, you have the power to open the eyes and make them the wali of the time. He made a dua, and in no time, all these people that were behaving in this way became the awliya of the time. See, so we would act in accordance to our capacity. Allah Ta'ala gives in accordance to His shan and splendor. But for that, all we need to do is show some nobility, some respect, some consideration, some love, some compassion to our brethren. Whoever it may be, like I've been speaking this afternoon, the immediate circle, And then the circle that is close to us, respect, generosity, love, consideration. These things, they definitely come with a reward, and they come with a great reward. You will see it, and the generations that come, they will see it. One thing I've seen one thing. I've read in the kitab as well, and I've seen with my eyes. The more you show generosity, especially to those that are immediate, your parents, your wife, your children, and your immediate circle, you show them generosity, and Allah will pause you with these favors. The more generosity, the more consideration, love, and you forgive their mistakes, their weaknesses, and you will see Allah will see you equally. He will see you like that. But the moment you close your hand, then His favors also will close onto you. So these people that are close to you, open your hand to them, and Allah Pak will open His hand to you. But the moment you close your hand, the moment you are harsh and hard, then you will get that same type of treatment coming to you. See, all controls, all systems belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it belongs to Him, it's how you will conduct yourself, you will be treated exactly the same. So you want Allah Ta'ala's favors, you want His love, you want His compassion, then those that are clear, that are no close to you, then you be respectful to them. You be kind to them, and you see how Allah Ta'ala will just pour His favors towards you. Apart from pouring His favors towards you, you will notice that you will get respect. You will get inner satisfaction and happiness. And if you close your hand and you show aggression, then you may get a lot, right? But you will not get the satisfaction of the heart. Mental peace, happiness, tranquility, you will be deprived of all the time. So this is a month, Shahrul Muwasat. It's a month of showing compassion, love, generosity, kindness, consideration. More than talking about it, we need to do it. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Engage ourselves in zikr a little bit.